Yeah, you gotta love that guy right there. I love a lot of people. I love Jeff. I love you guys. Shoo, you get me emotional here. See, I'm about ready to get on a plane. They're going to get on a plane. We're going. So we get a little emotional today. I love you, buddy. Miss Tina says, we're going to miss you. I said, stop. You did that last time. It wasn't good. Stop. Because he's just so sweet. She's like, we're going to miss you. We were at the house last time, and she would look over at me. It was on Sunday, and she'd go. I feel emotional right now. You're messing me up here. I'm going to try to preach and get me crying. Can we pray? Father, we just come to you. We just gather to celebrate you. We've done that. The best we understand you, we honor you. We've just taken time. I just don't feel like we've been in a hurry at all this morning. It's been good. Just fun and pastoring and teaching and imparting. Just a corporate time. What a time. Family celebrating a truth. Yeah. We just thank you for the joy of our salvation. We thank you for the unfailing love of who you are. We just thank you for empowering us today, encouraging us, and really continuing to just do a work in us that only you could do. Let your hand work inside of us by truth, God. And we just thank you for it. Have your way. If you were standing here, if Jason would have handed you a mic, you know exactly what you would say. You know the room. Let it be the words that come out of my mouth. And God, father us and continue to build us up in truth in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You guys are great hearers of the word. I've had so much fun this weekend. I don't know if people understand. You know, I appreciate when you say thank you. It's not that you can or don't get hear me wrong. I don't mind people saying thank you. I know people say, I know you don't really want us to say thank you or need us. It's not that I don't want you to. I don't need a Thanksgiving from anybody. I thank you. I'm not here. It's not a sacrifice. You can tell that. You say, well, you left home, you know, yeah, and I'm going back today. It's all good. I was out of my bed two nights, you know, and I was in a pretty comfy bed. And Jesus came with me, so I wasn't alone. It's just good, man. I don't travel alone. People say, you always travel alone. Never. Ever. And, my life's fun. I can honestly tell you this. I told a young man this out in the foyer, and I wasn't even sure why. He just said, thank you so much for coming. I said, man, let me tell you something. For a long time, I've done about 45 weekends a year going to churches. I love it. I'm telling you, this is the truth. There's not one remote time, one weekend where it remotely touched my heart where I thought, oh man, I got to travel this weekend. In like 10 years, 45 weekends a year, it wasn't even one time where that was even remotely a thought. I wouldn't stand here and tell you that if that wasn't true. I am so privileged. I so love what I get to do. I feel like I'm in a dream, and I'm like, don't wake me up. So thank you for being great hearers. Thank you for being excited to come. Most of you that came all weekend, I mean, there were so many people. It was a lot of different faces. It was neat. We set up a lot of sessions to give people opportunity to catch one.
Yeah.
And I think people took advantage of that because there was a lot of fluctuation of faces and people. But a lot of folks, I was impressed. So there she is. Look at her. Don't you appreciate her? We were talking about you. See, I don't hide things well. I look at her so serious, sincere. I'm off that job. We love you, Miss Tina. Let's do this, okay? This won't leave me, so I'm trusting it was right. Could you tell I'm stalling? I am. I'm actually stalling a little bit. Not because I don't know what to say, I just want to be right. I could say a lot. There's a lot in my heart. But I want to be right. And honestly, I'll be honest, while I was stalling, I was like, Lord, I was here a bunch. I'm sure I shared this because I share this. It's normal for me to share this, especially when I go to church for the first time. And this is not my first time here. I feel like I'm needing to do this. Can you guys help me with scripture? 1 John chapter 1, start in verse 5. Please, New King James Version. Thank you. It just takes out the thou's, the shouts. I'm not against old King James, but I just don't say thou beeth and all that stuff. I just don't say it. My pastor loves King James, and it's not that I don't love King James. I just don't talk that way. So I could take out the Elizabethan English and leave the same words there without the twist of it. Yeah. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. I need to do this. Listen, we talked all weekend about becoming like Him, image. The whole goal of our instruction is love. They called the weekend living to love. I say it all the time, everywhere I go. If we miss becoming love, we've honestly missed the point of why He came. He didn't come to just provide for you. He didn't just come to protect you. He didn't just come to heal your body. That's all part of God and redemption and what He does. But the reason He came was that you become a new creation, that the old would pass away and all things would become new. That's your mind, your emotions, your motive, your reason for being, your perspective. If we miss becoming love, we're going to miss why He came. He came to bring us back to original value. That's what redemption means, brought back, bought back to original value. He paid a price to get us back before sin, where there was never, ever, no separation from God. To join you back to Him, He said, no one. It's amazing how we make Jesus the way to heaven, and He said He's the way back to the Father. See, because in heaven there's incentive. There's something that I want to go back. Man, I want to go to heaven. A lot of preachers use hell as their platform to get you to heaven. They really do. I don't know about you. I personally wouldn't have to believe much. I would maybe pray that prayer in case you're right. If all you tell me is I got to pray a prayer so I don't go to hell, and if I pray that prayer I'll go to heaven, I'll pray just in case you're right. And go to work and still be mad at my boss and still shout down my wife. But I prayed the prayer. Don't you make that the gospel. The gospel's new life. Christianity is not even church attendance. As important as it is to gather and assemble together, Christianity is Christ-likeness. Christianity, little Christ-like one, Christian. Christian. Yeah? Yay. So we've been teaching this. And then Saturday we got a little more detailed and talked about intimacy and relationship in the morning. And we taught that if you don't get relational with Him and intimate with Him, your life won't transform. It's knowing Him that changes you. I'm just capping the weekend because it's about over in the sense of the actual function of the dates, the services, the times. But this isn't an event. Our life goes on in Him. This is like a we're just throwing fuel on fire, right? So it's not over. We're always just rolling. It's a new day. But what I taught was that you can't become love because you try. You can't not be angry because you're trying not to be. You get alone with God. You put off the things that you weren't created to be, and you put on the things in prayer that you were created to be, and grace starts making a difference in your life. You get sincere. The pure in heart see God. You sincerely want to follow Jesus. You sincerely want His nature living in you and through you. You sincerely want to respond to situations like He would. And you talk to Him about that. And you pray that. And you get alone with Him. You believe that. And you get alone with Him. And you get to know Him in that secret place, in that communion, in that fellowship, in that relationship. I used a young man and said, I still don't know his name, but if we drove together in a car today, we wouldn't not talk. Why do we do it with Jesus all the time? Why do we just play music about Him and listen to teachings about Him and never even connect truly with Him from our heart sometimes? Let's not do that. That's so religious. That's like that will never change. Listening to sermons will never change your life. I know that can make some people mad. Listening to sermons is not what will transform your life. Taking the truth of that sermon and letting it inspire you into His presence to where it's you and Him and He's molding and shaping you and you're yielded like clay and you come out of there and all of a sudden the thing you heard is what you've become. Like knowing the Word and what it says isn't the goal. Becoming what it says is the goal. And I've said it my whole Christian life, even way back when I started teaching. If you don't become the Word, you don't know the Word until you become it. You can quote it. Quote it all day. You can read your Bible long enough and actually preach a pretty awesome sermon. But your life lived reveals you know Him. 1 John is really straight. If you love, you know Him. If you don't love, not this chapter, but in chapter 4, 7, and 8. If you love, you know Him. If you don't love, you just don't know Him. It doesn't say you don't go to church. It doesn't say you don't see your need for a Savior. It doesn't say you're not sincere about forgiveness. But it does say if you don't know Him or love, it's because you don't know Him. So what's the barometer and the measuring stick of actually knowing God? The way you love. The way you live your life. The way your love keeps your heart from being frustrated, discouraged, opinionated, angry, hurt, offended, broken, bewildered. The things we all get tricked into thinking are normal because we've known them from the time we were born. But we were born again. And the old man and his deeds are put off and the new man rises up and you're a new creation and all things are new. Everything that was is dead. You get water baptized, die to everything you were so you can live to everything He is. It's a simple gospel. A big trick in our life, a big trap is just to think the way you grew up and the way it's been is who you are and who God made you to be. I've heard countless people say, Dan, you got to understand God gave us emotions. Because I talk about not living by feelings and emotions. I say, stop giving Him credit for the emotions you grew up with. He didn't give you them. Adam gave you those emotions. They all spring out of a self-centered wellspring. All your emotions that you're familiar with spring out of you thinking for you first. That's why fear is prevalent. Because you're all about your well-being, your survival, your stability. It's all about you. You didn't try that. You were born into that. It's called Adam. It's love perverted into selfishness. There's no selfishness in love. There's no love in selfishness. So the perversion in the fall of man was that God made man to love, and when he cut off from the source of love, he became in need of love. And we were all born into that deficit, and we think it's normal, so we all need love. So we try to find it, and it's only through Him. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, is to be filled with all the fullness of God. Yes. That's deliverance and freedom. And we're trying to find love through a relationship. We're trying to find love through family. And that's why people get so broken when love's not there. And they feel like people have to make up for lost time and lost words. And they're just sitting in faith praying. They say it's faith. And they're just praying for the day their dad, their natural dad, just acknowledges them and says they're special. And they're just living for that day. It's idolatry. It has nothing to do with you being fruitful today in God and living in Christ by the Spirit. Got to be careful to not let the way we grew up be the way we think it is. We've studied a fallen man and we say this is us. And he says, I see you better and I'll pay for the redemption of that truth. How are you going to live your life? Being transformed. How do you get transformed? By the renewing of your mind. Not being conformed to the world, the ideas of the world, the ways of the world, the things of the world, the wisdom of the world. He's not just talking about sinful sin. He's not just talking about murder and lust and adultery and robbery. He's talking about the way the world thinks. He's talking about the talk shows that are on TV in the morning. He said, she said, tit for tat, victim villain. I can't believe they did that. Well, no wonder you're so crushed. I can't believe. Yeah? The frivolous talk shows that Christians watch. I've had people make the mistake and tell me they watch them. That's a mistake to tell me that. I'm going to challenge you hard. Why would you feed yourself with a mentality that's supposed to be destroyed? Why would you get your emotions entangled with what he did and what she did and what he didn't say and how he hurt her and, oh, poor thing, and, oh, she's got to be, oh, and all of a sudden you're just caught up in the whirlwind of emotions. And nobody wins, victim, villain. Everybody's lost. There's no redemption in victim, villain. There's no redemption in he said, she said. It's a total loss. Because you're marked a victim, you're marked a villain, or vice versa. And there's no redemption in that wisdom. And then people live the rest of their years based on what happened to them and who did what to them. And the whole time the cross is speaking out and crying out. And what God said and what God did gets overrun by how we feel and what went down. Be careful. That's a lie. That's a flesh-driven lie that has zero wisdom of God behind it. He makes foolish the wisdom of this world. The highest wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. And he says, if any man thinks he knows anything in this age, if any man thinks he has an idea in this age, he needs to consider to know nothing so he can get an idea. Man, that's so humbling. It would just make an unrepentant man furious. What? If that makes you mad, that's a warning. Because people get puffed up in their knowledge. And they let their identity wrap around their knowledge. And what they say they know instead of what they've become. Christianity is all in your being. It's all in your being. You have to have tremendous healthy being to have spirit-led healthy doing. If your doing is an attempt to establish your being, you got it way backwards and you'll never be okay, ever. But if your doing flows out of healthy being, what do you mean, Dan, being, doing? You wake up and be a son. You wake up and be accepted. You wake up and be loved. You wake up and be his. No questions asked. And if you start there and believe there, you'll run well through your day. If you wake up and believe you're a son, your life will start looking like a son. If you wake up and believe you're righteous, the sinful drives in people's lives would begin to die and lose their voice and fade away. The things that compelled you in the flesh won't have any power to compel you anymore. Why? Because righteousness has reigned in your life and you present yourselves as members unto him, not unto lawlessness. And all of a sudden it becomes a strange thought to think about doing what you did before. I can remember my old life. I can't even relate to it. It's absolutely crazy. When I tell people how I used to be and how I treated my family, and they're like, I can't even comprehend that. I said, you shouldn't. I'm born again. I didn't incorporate Jesus into my life. He became my life. I got a new wineskin. He didn't come into the old me. He came into the new me. Because the old me got flushed down the drain of water baptism. We've never done it, but I had a I would have got crazy persecution and probably got called a kook, but maybe somebody has called me that over the years. But I got this picture in prayer. You'll appreciate this, Jason. I saw this big porcelain potty. And I thought, we got to make a baptismal, a commode. A big commode. And seriously, because it's such a contact point of faith. And you have this big wooden handle on this thing. And you take them in the commode and you say, hey guys, we're going in here and we're going to put you under the likeness of his death. You're going to die in the likeness of his death. You ready to die? Yeah. And you get this big pipe going down into the sewage system and you're holding them. The elders are holding them. Don't let them slip. Don't let the pipe. Sewage. Because you die in the likeness of his death. But if you die in the likeness of his death, surely, 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 as God raised Jesus by the glory of the Father, as Jesus raised, you'll be raised in the newness And right as you're pulling them out, you have Jeff standing over there. No, he's playing the keys and it's powerful. Forget somebody else. We need him on the keys. Don't get Jeff. Chris, we get Chris. And right as it's flushing, you pull them out. And the old life, bye-bye sewer. New life, come. I'm telling you, we need to work on that. We got to get a big potty, man. And get a major pipe going right to the sewage system. You ready to die? We're going to hold you under. When the bubbles stop, we'll pull the handle. We'll bring you up by faith. It'll all be good. Trust us. Flush it. Got him. Because here's the truth. You're not praying a prayer to go to heaven. You're not just getting forgiveness. You're dying to who you were. Let's just make it plain. And let's just push this all this stuff away. We've all heard our whole lives. Just trying to get people to repeat a prayer. Just give him your heart. Just to get him to forgive you. Just to make sure you go to heaven. What about the new life? That's what he paid for. He paid for a new creation. Because if there's repentance, that's a change of mind, then something has to change. Yeah. If it's just sorry for my sins, please accept my apology and take me to heaven, you might still stay as angry and upset and frustrated and discouraged as you were before. And you might have enough justification wrapped around it because of the natural facts to actually believe it and get your friends to support your discouragement. While you're doing your Bible study on how God comforts. Oh my goodness. God have mercy. Please, guys, don't shoot me. Well, I won't die. Go ahead, shoot me. Okay, so we're all here to become love. You can't become love on your own through knowing him, through relationship. Now watch this. You'll never have relationship and be intimate with him unless you really see how he sees you. So we taught that a lot. Even yesterday, we touched on that. How you're holy, blameless, above reproach, in his sight. In his sight. That's how he sees you. That's not positional. That's how he sees you. Holy, blameless, above reproach. Why weren't you holy? You were enemies and alien. It's Colossians 1. It's like 21. You were alienated by the way your mind worked. You were enemies and alienated. You and I, our minds weren't thinking for the kingdom. Our minds were thinking for ourselves. That's right. Let me just be challenging and straight. Sorry. A little bit sorry. Not much. But it's the only reason you have animosity in your marriages. Thinking for yourself. Why do you have to have animosity just because you disagree? When you're not thinking for yourself, you can have disagreement and never have animosity. Right. When you're thinking for yourself, you enter animosity. Tensions and passions and schisms. And Paul says it's carnal. We're so used to it, we think it's normal. And we say, well, everybody has their moments, brother. No, that's why you have yours. Take the runway out of your life and the plane has nowhere to land. Change your belief system and watch how it changes. That's right. Hold yourself accountable and get your eyes off your spouse and take account for your own heart and stop watching somebody else's. Stop listening to their vows and live up to yours.
Come on. Yeah. Good.
I've been getting stronger and straighter with this stuff, and I've just been bringing it real strong as it comes that way. The more we keep conducting ourselves in these ways, it reveals that we don't see him like we could and we don't know him like we could and we haven't yielded to him like we could. It has nothing to do with what you're calling the problem. It has to do with you not seeing him clear as you could. Because the day a situation is stealing my productivity and keeping me from shining, I got my eyes on something that doesn't matter the most. But I'm letting it matter more. It's the way I counsel anymore and everything. It's really cut my counseling way down. Because people just thought, well, I just got so hurt yesterday. Wait a minute, stop. Whoa, you just threw me. Why'd you get hurt? Why are you hurt? I'm hurt because you're, whoa, I get what they did and I see, but why'd that hurt you? Doesn't that alarm you that you're just that vulnerable? Man, if you're that vulnerable, Satan will just pull the control panel out of your life. He's got you figured out by expression. Ha ha. Yeah, go to church. Wave your flags. Bam. Go ahead, read your Bible. Do your daily devotions. Do your little guidepost magazine. I don't care. You ain't got a grip. Boom. Not being mean. Being relatable and being real, so religion never lulls any of us to sleep because our lives are worth the blood of Jesus. It would be sad to be a sleeper. Arise and wake. Yeah? Doesn't say we're destroyed because of hypocrisy all the time. It's not always hypocrisy. I'm rarely talking to hypocrites. I don't even know that there's one hypocrite in this room, honestly. I don't know that I perceive there's one hypocrite in this whole room. It's a lack of knowledge that destroys us. I think most of us are doing what we feel like we can, and some of us have convictions. I could give a little more, surrender a little more, but I don't think it qualifies you as a hypocrite. A hypocrite is a willing, knowing game player, a mask wearer, somebody knowingly appearing to be something they absolutely know they're not, and it's their agenda. It's rare I run into that in meetings and weekends and people coming to services. I'm never really talking to rooms of hypocrites. I'm talking to people that love God the best they understand God. And most of the time, the reason we're destroyed is because of the lack of knowledge. So if we could get the knowledge, we could stop destruction. So in all you're getting, get understanding. Make sense? So you'll never draw close to him unless you see yourself the way he sees you. So guilt, condemnation, shame has to end for the Christian. Guilt just says, I'm worthy of judgment. Condemnation says, I'm worthy of judgment. Guilt says, I'm not forgiven. Shame says, I'm still what I did. They're all anti-finished works of Christ. They're destructive to your life. They're never, ever, ever in the tool belt of God. He never uses any of those three to teach you, train you, to shake you. They are tools from hell. They never produce life. They're not from the Lord. Guilt, condemnation, and shame. Sin consciousness. Just feeling like, well, we're always a sinner. I'm always a sinner. It's a language that has been in the church. We think it's humility. It's deception. It's false humility. You don't have to talk yourself down to raise him up. He seated you in heavenly places. Come on. To talk you down to magnify him is not, he doesn't need you to talk you down to magnify him. He magnifies him.
Right.
Who he is his magnification. And he said, come up hither. He didn't say, talk yourself down to make me look better. He said, I'm calling you one and I'm not ashamed to call you brethren. And as I am, so are you in this world. And the things I do, you'll do if you believe. So I guess if you were the enemy, you'd attack the believer. You'd attack the belief system. You'd attack what men believe. You'd get them to fight over what they believe. You'd get them to divide over what they believe. You'd get them to go after what they believe and call it the Lord and have rage in their heart sometimes and baggage over their shoulders because rah, 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 rah. Well, nobody in this town says, we're going to raise up this work. This town is so religious, we're going to start a spirit-filled movement. You better stop and regroup, pal.
That's right.
You're just building another building. You got to love your city if you're going to affect your city. You can't be mad at the pastors and the people and the churches, and you can't be a split off of a church and then a split off of a home group because that didn't work either.
Yeah.
At some point, you got to look in your heart and say, something ain't right. When you feel a hard edge towards folks to where they bother you and you'd rather get out of the room and they get under your skin, it's time to get new skin, not pray for them to change.
Come on.
Come on, I'm just talking to you plain. It's my last shot I got here. So you talk about this no sin conscious thing, you talk about this freedom from sin, and it freaks people out. It freaks Bible teachers out. It just freaks them out. And I'm thinking, why does it freak us out? Do we read our Bibles? Or do we read our Bibles with the screen of our upbringing? Are we even looking, or do we already think we know what it says when we read over it? Do we read it in light of what we've been taught, or do we read it in light of what he's saying? I don't know. So here's what I'm going to do. They're so patient with me. I've asked them to put that on the board. So they took us back to the trees because it's pretty. But they're right here. These guys are awesome. I saw how they were with Jason. As soon as he mentioned the scripture, it was right up there behind him. Were they doing that when I was preaching this weekend? Were they really? The whole time I thought you were looking at angels above me. I was, boom. I thought, God, I am in some kind of flow right now. They're not even looking at me. You must have angels. You were looking at, okay. People pull this out of context all the time. There's a big danger in pulling the Bible out of context. Some of these little movements that we call cults, all they've done is take five scriptures out of different places in the Bible, piece them together to make them say what they're not saying when they're on their own. It's amazing how that happens. Somebody just gave me a Christian book, said, you got to check this out. And I'm not a book reader. Don't give me books, please, because I'll tell you straight. Look, I'm probably not going to read your book. I'm glad you wrote it. I'm not being rude. I don't read books. I'm Christian, 23 years in June. I can probably count the books I read on one hand. Maybe need a finger or two since I've been saved. And that's only when I really felt impressed to and that God said, I want you to check that out. Maybe two of them I read just because I wanted to read them. I'm not a book reader. I love my Bible. I'm not a book reader. People say, you ought to write a book. I said, I'm not even thinking of writing a book because I don't even read books. This book I read, this fellow wrote this book, and it just has explanation for like two paragraphs of explanation. And at the very end of the two paragraphs of explanation, he throws half of a scripture at the bottom with its address. And then two more paragraphs of explanation of what he's trying to say. And then right at the perfect time of his comment, slides a scripture in out of context, just a one-liner or a half of a one-line to try to stamp everything he's saying. And people don't realize what's going on. And he's reasoning and you're rationalizing and you're reading and it's mesmerizing. You go, oh, wow. And then when you see the little address in the stamp, it's like, oh, approved. Yeah, okay, scripture. Yeah, scripture. Man, that thing should have like three scriptures in one comment. Three scriptures in a comment. People say, well, brother, you keep talking about this sin. What are you saying? You're perfect. Do you ever hear anybody talk like this? What are you saying? You don't sin. We all sin. We're all going to sin, brother. We're always going to sin. It's the plague of humanity. We're going to sin, man. We are sinners. Well, Paul said we're saints. I'm confused. Man. And then when you talk about this, we miss identity and we get into actions and functions and then it freaks people out because they're saying, oh my gosh, this guy's saying he doesn't sin and never sins. And then it just totally wigs people out. It's not even what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I never think about it. I don't want it to ever own me because I'm not its slave. It's not my master. It's the last thing on my mind, that and the devil. The two things that I never think about is sin and the devil. And if the devil shows up, we just move him out of the way. But he's a cut off withering branch coming to nothing. I'm not putting him on a stage in my life. He's been defeated. And the one that lives in me is far above all power. And if you'd have had some of the experiences I've had over the years, you would understand my extreme passion when I talk about that topic. People say, well, Dan, if you say you have no sin, you're deceived and the truth's not in you. People quote that. I've had that quoted at me for preaching some of the stuff I preach. And I'm like, that's one line and you're not even hearing what it's saying. You're making it say what it's not even saying. So we're going to start there. We're going to roll through a couple scriptures and I'm going to try to get us out of here because it seems late. What time do you know in the end? One or something? Am I like already blown up? Huh? Sometimes? No, no. You know, and we got a flight to catch. Oh, Lord. This is the message which we've heard from him and declare to you that God is light. What is God? In him is. And guess where he lives? Oh, okay. If we say we have fellowship with him and continue to just walk in darkness, we practice darkness. We say we are communion with him. We have fellowship with him. We're intimate with him. That I was face to face. Oh, I just sat at his throne room today. He took me into that place. If we say that we live that way and we walk in darkness, We're lying. We aren't practicing the truth. That's pretty straight. I'm glad I didn't say that. I'm glad he said it. But, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we've come out from among them. We're going to be separate. We're sanctified. We're called out of darkness into the light. We're born again. We're walking in the light. We're going to have fellowship with one another. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from how much sin? So in verse 7, you were just cleansed of all sin. Through what? Through the blood of Jesus. Now watch. If we say we have no sin, what's he saying? If you say you have no need for the blood, you have no need to be cleansed. You don't have sin. You don't need the cross. You don't need the blood. What sin? If you say you have no sin, you deceive yourself and the truth's not in you. Watch this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to what? Okay, in verse 7, you were cleansed of all sin. Now you're just forgiven of your sins and cleansed of... So in 2-3 verses, you were forgiven of all sin, cleansed of all sin, and cleansed of all unrighteousness. That sounds pretty clean. So if you were cleansed of all sin, what sin's remaining? If you were cleansed of all unrighteousness, what's the only thing left? Pretty simple. Next verse, he clarifies verse 8 and verse 10. If we say, remember in verse 8, if we say we have not sinned or have no sin, he's not talking about a moment ago. He's not talking about this morning. If we say we have not sinned, there again, he's not talking about this morning. If we say we have no need of the blood, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a... In other words, we wouldn't need the cross, guys. And his word, we all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. See, he's not talking about present, everyday consciousness and awareness of sin. He's talking about the state we were in before he came. I'll show it to you. Watch. Chapter 2, verse 1. Little children, these things I write to you so you may not sin. He's not saying, but you know you're always gone, and if you say you're not, you're a liar. This is so simple. My little children, these things I write to you so you may not sin. And when you do, oh no, if. Wow, that's different. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So don't fall apart, guys. Watch this. He himself is the mercy over your sins. And not for yours only, but also the whole world. So the whole world is in position to be forgiven. That's why you can pray for an unbeliever and they can be healed. That's why you can get a word of knowledge for an unbeliever. That's why the gifts of the Spirit will flow to somebody that hasn't been forgiven because the blood's speaking better things. It doesn't mean they're saved automatically. They need to repent and change the way they think and get water baptized and come out of there with new life, right? But God sees them through his Son and he's paved the way. Hebrews chapter 10, real quick. Verse 1, please. And just scroll with me. I'm going to read this and try to get this done. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. I want you to see how important this is. I just heard this language my whole Christian life, man. Even though I've been around amazing people and stuff, I'm really around the church a lot, and I'm in a lot of different circles, and I get invited into all kinds. I've been everything you would call some level of Christian. I'm in it all the time. And I hear this kind of language, yeah, but brother, we're always going to sin. Well, praise God, he loves us. I mean, we're never perfect. And it's like we feel like we got to boast in imperfection when he said, you be complete like your Father's complete. Yeah? It's a false humility, guys. Here's what it does. When you talk like that, you deny a grace that's here to change you. And you refuse what he paid for. It's like putting the present under the tree and you don't open it, but it fits you perfect and you would love it if you wore it. But you never took the bow off, let alone the paper. For the law, a little wordy, but we'll get it. The law, having a shadow of good things to come. The law, he's talking about sacrificing those little lambs and goats and turtle doves and splitting the little breasts open. And I mean, think about that if you were under that today. There wouldn't be many pet stores. You know, you wouldn't be, oh, little kitty. Yeah, little kitty. Huh? Could you imagine that? The way people live and psycho pastors. They say pastors are struggling with pornography and hitting the buttons and stuff when they're doing their computer stuff in their offices. They did some kind of survey. I hope they're wrong. I hope they're wrong. They're saying like these pastors that are in full-time ministry are like gripped by some of this stuff. And I'm thinking, could you imagine if we were in that? Could you imagine if you had a little puppy and two kitties? You had a little parakeet chirping in the corner and a little hamster over in the... There's a little, your little boy's hamster. And you go in your study and you already lost your two kitties and dog. They didn't even get to grow up. As soon as his finger hits that papa parakeet. Oh. After he's all done and the pastor, oh, I can't, he goes, opens a little cage, takes him down in the basement. Last time we ever hear that little buddy. Could you imagine? The old, it was just a shadow. Then he comes up and he goes back in his study. All you got's a hamster. He's sitting over there. And he goes, boom. Gone. Your little buddy. Wouldn't that be terrible? It's the law. It's a shadow. It's just a shadow. It's not the very image of the thing that's coming. It's just pointing to it. And it can never, the law, this former thing, it could never, with these same sacrifices, just year after year, the priests going in year after year, there was always an awareness and a consciousness of sin, always. Them poor fellas, can you imagine? You know the story, he's taught it out, I'm sure. They went in there once a year, they had a rope tied to them, they had garments on, they had bells attached to them, because if the bells stopped ringing, something went wrong, they missed something, and they died. Could you imagine if you were in the order of priests and you're standing there and you're the backup and you're sitting there praying harder than you've prayed a whole year. Please let him do everything right. Please, God, let him do everything right. And all of a sudden you don't hear the bells. And he goes. And now they're pulling a rope. He's got a rope. Am I telling the truth? They pull him out with a rope. And they take off his garments and put them on the backup, and you better believe the bells are ringing. It's nothing but fear. It's nothing but separation. It's nothing but awareness that we're far from him even though he's near. Don't live that way. Christ has come. He's not up in the clouds. He's not the old man in the sky. He's not the big guy. He's your father and he's inside of you by his spirit. Can never, ever, with their offer continue, you'll be able to make those who approach perfect. You got to understand, he's taken away the first to establish the second. So what the first one couldn't do, the second one absolutely does do. So if this one can't make you complete and perfect, the second one can. Scroll with me. I'm sorry. I'm taking too long. For then, would they not have ceased to be offered? For once the worshipers were purified, they've had no more consciousness of sin. So a major goal of the new covenant is that you would never again have a consciousness of sin, and we feel like we have to embrace a language that boasts in our ability to fail and call it humility. You're not even supposed to be thinking about sin. You should have no consciousness of sin. You're not waking up trying to live better, trying not to sin, trying harder. You wake up and be better, be his, be a good tree, and the fruit will be amazing. Yeah. Watch this. But in those sacrifices, there's a reminder of sin every year, every time, all the time. Just keep rolling with me. For it is not possible that the blood, not even possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. That means his blood could. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice offering you didn't desire, a body you've prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. So I said, behold, I've come in the volume of this book, it's written of me, to do your will, O God. You guys following? Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offering, offering for sin you did not desire nor have pleasure in, which are all offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I've come to do your will, O God. Guess what he does, guys? He takes away to establish the second. by that will. The second, we have all been set apart with a holy calling through the offering of the body of Jesus once. Thank God, little parakeet hamsters, they got hope. Once for all. And every priest is standing, ministering daily, offering repeatedly these same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. He's really talking about natural death. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being set apart. No sin consciousness permitted in the body of Christ. Real quick, it's 105. Can I do one scripture and read it real fast? Romans 6, real quick. We'll be done. Are you guys good? Are you okay? Okay. No, I can't. There's children's church. It's Sunday. There's workers. I don't want to blow this thing up. So if I get anywhere even close to you, let me know. We got to. The reason he says, what shall we say then, is because at the end of 5, he says, where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So you know what people interpret sometimes? Hey, let's just forget how we live. God knows how we're going to live. Let's just live how we live. God knows. Grace covers us. Thank God for the blood. That is not the gospel. I was in a church preaching. The guy raised his hand while I'm preaching. And he said, you need to understand Christ. I said, excuse me? I was a guest speaker. I said, excuse me? I said, man, I need to understand what you're saying. He said, well, you obviously don't understand Christ. You're mentioning sin. You're talking about, why do you even mention sin in anybody's life? God took care of that. I said, okay, he did, but I'm still not following your point. What are you trying to say? Well, God knows we're going to sin. You don't even have to talk about it. We're always going to sin. I said, I think I know what you're saying. We're going to sin. It's our nature. It's always going to be. So God sent his son to take care of it when we do. So let's just stop being under pressure. Let's just live our lives. When we sin, we sin. He forgives us. That's what makes him amazing. And one day we'll all rejoice together because he's good. He said, yeah. I said, can we turn to Romans 6? And I started to read it. And he stood up vehement in the service, just like this. Stood up vehement and said, I'll not be brought into this kind of bondage and legalism. I will not be lied to. And he stormed out of the church. And I tried to talk to him. A lady got up and chased him crying. I said, ma'am, I stopped her at the door. Might be in your best interest not to just run out there crying. I feel like your motives are all not really good. Pastor and his wife were crying. And I said, sorry. Didn't try to run anybody out. The church wasn't that big to begin with. It wasn't my goal. That's what I said. And I began to preach and teach. When the service was over, they said, no, you don't understand. He's been coming for weeks. You didn't know nothing about it, and we didn't tell you about it. We just had a meeting with him 2 days ago. And so we're really concerned about your mindset and what you're imparting to the people and the people you're making friends with. Regular pot smoker, spent all his night in the bar at night, left pretty intoxicated, usually had a live-in girlfriend, and came to church and said, it does none of that matters because God knows that's going to be my life. That's out there. That kind of teaching's out there. It's evil. It's bad. So then when tighter people see that message, they think they got to counter it, so they preach tighter and cross a line and miss grace. What shall we say then? If sin abounds, grace abounds even more. What shall we say then? Now here's what you've got to see this. I'm sorry, back up just a second for me. I'm so sorry. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin so grace may abound? Certainly not. Watch, you did not pray a prayer to go to heaven. How shall you who died to... Are we telling people that in the street corner? Are we telling people that they live selfish and they're denying their self so they can pick up the cross and follow him? Are we using heaven as the motivation to get people to repeat a prayer? Certainly not. How shall we? So they don't even know they died to sin. They don't even know that they're supposed to give up themselves. They're just praying a prayer so they qualify. So if it's true, when Jesus comes, they can. I'm not saying everybody. Some people, mercy. But why do we always force God to work with our evangelism because of his mercy instead of his truth? Wow. Why don't we just clean up our evangelism? Why don't we just tell people the truth? Why? Because maybe you're afraid they won't pray that prayer? Well, why do you want to get them to pray the prayer and back off of the truth?
Yeah.
Is your goal getting them to pray the prayer, or is your goal getting them saved and transformed? I just got news for you. I'll get hammered for saying this with the video running. Everybody that said that prayer isn't born again.
That's right.
Your life reveals that. Like it goes to a church, little Freddy's, he's 12 or he's 14 or he's 18 or he's 21 and he's overwhelmed and he cries and he goes to the Lord God. And everybody says, well, the Spirit of God can't leave him. He's in the palm of hand. Nobody can snatch. Once saved, always saved. Brother, Freddy's good. So for the next 25 years, Freddy just stirs up hell, runs people's lives over, breaks the heart of his wife, family, drinks himself almost into the ground and hits a tree one night. Has never thought about God all those years. And at the funeral, we say, I remember the day when Freddie gave his life to Jesus. Thank you, God. I mean, I hope before Freddie hit the trees, he saw him in mercy and God's amazing. But man, let's preach a stronger gospel than that.
That's right.
If your goal is for Freddie to get to the altar and pray that prayer so he's safe, and then, hey, we don't care now. He said the prayer, baby. Bam, we got Freddie in. You know why you're giggling? Because you know what I'm saying is true. That's everywhere. That mentality's everywhere. But here's what we do. Watch. How shall we who died to... How are you going to die to sin and boast in your ability to commit it? We who died to sin, how shall we live in it any longer? Or do you not know? Maybe we don't. Maybe that's why we teach. Maybe that's why he wrote this. Do you not know, it's important to know, that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. We'll see what his death was and what we were baptized into in a minute. That just as, that same as, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we so shall newness of life. Remember the commode story? Yay. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, see, it's not just about dying, it's about living. Certainly, we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. See, that's the goal of the gospel. Knowing this, second time, you better know, that our old man was crucified with him. When he died, who I was died. In the body of sin, that it might be done away with, that we should no longer be bound and chained to serve its testimony, sin. For he who has died, not prayed a prayer to go to heaven, he who has died. Look what the word says. And it's not blasphemy because he said it. What are we? Oh, doesn't that feel good? Don't get nervous. Don't let your upbringing scare you. For he who has died has been... Go ahead. You might want to say that and just make it... Just let it settle. Freed from... Yeah, but brother, we're always going to sin. What are you trying to say? You're freaking me out. I'm ready to leave. We're always going to sin, brother. You're saying you're perfect and you don't sin? See, I'm not even talking about that. We're so distracted with the act of sin, we can't even settle into an identity that changes our lives. This is good. Solid. Verse 8. I just wanted to make sure you knew it was good. Now, if we died with Christ, not if we accept him in our heart, give him our life, ask to go to heaven, write my name in a book. No. If we died with Christ, we're believing we shall live with him. Knowing, third time you better know, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, he's dying no more. Me being raised, I ain't dying no more. Death no longer has dominion over him, so death no longer has dominion over us. Verse 11. Or 10, I'm sorry. Oh, whoa, 10. You're so quick. You are way out there, man. Dude, you're amazing. For the death, here's what we're baptized into and buried into. We're buried into his death. We're baptized into his death. The death that he died, look what it is. He died to... But the life that he lives. Look at verse 11. He makes us one. Likewise you. Also... how can I wake up and reckon myself dead to sin and still boast in my ability to commit it? What are you supposed to do in the morning when you wake up? Reckon yourselves but alive unto God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yeah? Scroll with me quick. I'll read this and I got to get down and quit. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies that you should obey it in its lust. See? It'll still trick you. It'll still try to pull you. It'll still come and say, pss, 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 hey, remember? It's passing pleasures, guys. Moses came of age and he said, you know what? I'm coming out of this thing. I'm forgetting these pleasures. I'm going after God. Don't present your members. Don't you wake up and just think you're waiting to fail, that your failure waiting to happen. Don't present your members. Don't give your body. Don't give your life. Don't make your tree unrighteous by believing that you're ready to fail any minute. Some people say, brother, you got to understand, we're always sinning. Brother, we might even be sinning right now. I had somebody say that to me. We probably are sinning while we're breathing. We just don't know it. If you're sinning while you're breathing, please get born again. A new nature comes into you. You don't have some dual nature. That thing Paul talked about was his life apart from Christ, before Christ. Let's get real. You got to die to something to be married to another. You're not married to both. Spiritual polygamy, that would be terrible. Married to the law and grace. Are you kidding me? Life from the dead, your members as instruments. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to present yourselves to God every day. You're going to wake up in the morning. Father, thank you that I'm alive. Thank you your life lives in me, that you've judged me righteous through the blood of your Son. You don't see me for sin, failure, weakness, or mistakes. The weak is saying, I am strong. Your grace is sufficient in my life, and I honor you. You're the one that makes my motor run. You're the one that fills my cup and runs it over. It's you in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Keep forming yourself in me and reveal yourself through me, and let the world see and know that you are God. Thank you for life in Christ Jesus. Be a good way to leave for work. That's a little better than, oh God, I hope I can make it through the day. I didn't get much sleep last night. You know, I woke up and had to pee twice. I don't even know why I can't just out my bladder, because God, now I'm going to be tired. And you know, the boss, if I got to go, please God, would you touch the boss? I don't know how long I can endure him. I might need another job. And if I got to work beside Jimmy today, I don't even know what I'm going to do, God. So please show your love for me. And please, please let me work beside Betty. That would be way better, God. That's not prayer. That's a self-centered, freak-out delusion. It's not prayer. You're not talking to the Lord. You're complaining. And it's not leaving the drop ceiling. It's not in the bowls of incense. Because it's amidst your own lust and desire. It's not before the Lord. Next verse, please. I'm sorry, I'm so late here. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? You're not under the law, you're under grace. So what then? Shall we just sin because we're not under the law? No, we already settled that. Of course not. Verse 16. I'm trying to hurry. Do you not know? Fourth time, you better know. Do you not know that to whom you present yourself, as to whom you see yourself and believe yourself to be, is what you're going to serve? That's this phrase he's been saying, what you behold, you become. Slave to obey, whether it's sin leading to death, sin consciousness, or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart. Now watch this form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Do you know how many people go to church and were never delivered this form of doctrine? Wow. And having been set. Oh, and having been. Oh, it feels so good. Set free from sin. Yeah, but brother, you're always going to sin. What are you saying? You don't sin? What are you, perfect? What are you saying? And having been. You become slaves unto righteousness. I speak in human terms because the weakness of your flesh, for just as you presented your members as slaves unto uncleanness and believed that's who you were and what you had to be, and you followed its impulses and desires and lawlessness leading to even more lawlessness, so now you present your members as a slave, chained and bound to serve its testimony, righteousness, for its fruit, holiness. For when you were a slave of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have in the things which you're now ashamed? For the end of those things is certain death. But now, oh my goodness, third time. But now having been, having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to, and the end, everlasting life. That's the gospel. Amen. Pastor Jason.